Last night, and this is not the title, brother, but last night we looked unto the Lamb. And tonight, with God's help, we want to look at the Lamb and show you some things about the Savior. And hopefully it'll be a blessing to you. And hopefully that somebody that's lost here tonight will be drawn by the Holy Ghost to come and be saved.
Amen.
Salvation is not a fairy tale. You are lost, you're in your sin, and you're headed for hell. And it's not going to get better until you come to Jesus. And if you'll come to Jesus, it'll get better, but you've got to come. And I listened to Brother Bob, the messages he preached in the early part of the week, and I like what he said about that word come. That's a God word. And he uses that word often in his Bible, to come. You must come. Amen? He wants to save you, but you must come. And if you'll do that, he will save you. Amen. Matthew chapter 27. And we're going to look in verse 27 and read down to verse 37. Let's all stand while we read God's word. This wonderful book, Divine, says, "Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the common hall, and gathered unto him the whole band of soldiers. They stripped him, put on him a scarlet robe. When they had plaited a crown of thorns, they put it upon his head, and a reed in his right hand. They bowed the knee before him," now get this word, "and mocked him, saying, Hail, King of the Jews. And they spit upon him, and took the reed and smote him on the head. And after that they had mocked him, they took the robe off from him, and put his own raiment on him, and led him away to crucify him. And as they came out, they found a man of Cyrene, Simon by name. Him they compelled to bear his cross. And when they were come unto a place," thank God for this place, "called Golgotha," that is to say, a place of a skull, "they gave him vinegar and to drink mingled with gall. And when he had tasted thereof, he would not drink. And they crucified him and parted his garments, casting lots, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, They parted my garments among them, and upon my vesture did they cast lots. And sitting down, they watched him there, and set up over his head the accusation written, This is Jesus, King of the Jews." Let's pray. Father, we pray, God, that you'd move here tonight as we've prayed all day. And God, we know that you could speak to a lost heart tonight.
Yes, Lord.
If something gets done in the way of salvation tonight, it'll be by you. We pray for your word tonight, that you'd speak to hearts. God, those of us that are saved, I pray, God, we take a fresh look at our Savior tonight and what he did for us on Golgotha. I thank you, Lord, for Calvary. I thank you, Lord, for the great sacrifice that was made for me. But I pray, God, that you'd speak to every heart. Use this old preacher one more time. Give me unction and liberty to preach in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
You can be seated. Isaiah 63:1 says, Who is this that cometh from Edom with dyed garments? From Bozra, this that is glorious in his apparel, traveling in the greatness of his strength, I that speak in righteousness, mighty to save. Let me give you a picture real quick. Exodus chapter 26 and verse 31 speaks of a veil. A veil that was in the tabernacle, that stood between the priest and the presence of God in the Ark of the Covenant. There was actually three such curtains in the tabernacle. The first one was called the gate. The gate stood outside, blocking anyone from entering. The gate was broad and wide, enough that all could come. See, we have a whosoever God.
Amen.
He wants you to be saved tonight.
Yeah. Right.
He desires you to be saved tonight.
That's right.
That curtain, inside that curtain was the what we call the brazen altar. There had to be a sacrifice killed at that gate and placed upon that brazen altar. That's a type of the cross. Jesus said this, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." Here it is. Here it is. "No man cometh unto the Father, unto the presence of God, except by me."
Amen.
Except by Calvary.
Amen.
Except by the sacrifice that I made for you.
Amen.
Then you go on in and you'll find that inside that tabernacle there was what was called the door. That was the place that blocked off the sanctuary. Inside that sanctuary, Brother Chris, was that table of showbread. And that golden candlestick. And that altar of incense, which speaks of once we're inside, we can partake of the bread of life. And Jesus feeds us.
Yeah.
He gives us light. And the prayers that we have go up to Him. Then there's that last curtain. It's called the veil. Now listen to this. Exodus 26:31. "And thou shalt make a veil of blue and purple and scarlet and fine twine linen."
Amen.
Who knows what color that is? White. Stands for the righteousness of God. "Of fine twine linen, of cunning work with cherubims shalt it be made." Thank God when Jesus died on the cross, it was said about Him, and the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom. Hebrews chapter 10 verses 19 and 20 says, "Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the," I believe Brother Robert talked about this last night, "into the holiest by the blood of Jesus."
Yes.
"By a new and living way, which He hath consecrated for us through the veil." That is to say, His flesh.
Amen.
The veil is a type of the flesh that Jesus brought to this earth and sacrificed for you and I. You got that picture? Now, let me say this. Everything the devil does, he does to counterfeit God.
Good.
And he always oversteps his boundaries. He always makes, listen to me, I'll give you an example. All right? Listen to me real close. If you're going to say the opposite of what I say, if I say white, what would you say?
Black.
If I say God, what would you say? Satan's not the opposite of God. He's not equal. See, he's overstepped his boundaries even in our minds. He makes us think he's equal. And he's not equal. How about John? John was preaching the gospel and they didn't like him to preach the gospel. So they took him and they boiled him in oil, tried to kill him, and that didn't work. So they said, "We know what we'll do. We'll put him down there in that old Isle of Patmos where there ain't nothing. He won't live. He won't survive. He'll just get down in the mully grubs and he'll just take his life." Well, there he sat down there and the devil said, "Boy, I got him." Always overstepping his boundaries. And all of a sudden God shows up on the Lord's day and visits him and says, "Write this down."
Yeah, buddy.
And we've got the book of Revelation.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Always overstepping his bounds. Can't you imagine when Christ was hanging on the cross?
Yeah, buddy.
The conversation that took place, "Boy, we got him now. He's going to die. That's what we've always wanted. We wanted to put him to death." And I imagine they're having a time until he rose again the third day.
Amen.
God said, "I'll have the last word on that one."
Amen.
A friend they put these robes on Jesus to mock him. The devil said, we'll just make fun of him. He won't have no credibility. I want to bring you a message with the Lord's help tonight. Blessed truths from the four robes that Jesus wore. He wore four. He wore four. Let's look at them. Amen? I believe it'll be a blessing to you. He said, all thy garments smell of myrrh and aloes and cassia. Out of the ivory palaces whereby they are made, have made thee glad.
Yeah.
Then Isaiah 63 talks about those that was glorious in his apparel. And that was a blood-stained garment. Two truths we find there. First of all, they were sweet-smelling. Amen. You say, what does that mean? That means they smelled like they'd been around the Godhead. Just come out of heaven. Sweet-smelling. All those that he talked about were sweet-smelling. Now listen, he talked about myrrh. What is myrrh? Embalming fluid. That's what they used to embalm dead bodies. They brought myrrh and they put it in there. And that speaks of the Father. He knew when Christ was born that he was going to die. He was going to have to forsake him for you and I. Then we see aloe. What is aloe used for? Burns? Can I tell you that Christ took my hell on Calvary?
Mine too, brother.
Christ the Son took our hell. I don't have to go to hell today because He took it.
Amen.
Then there's that cassia. Do you know what that word cassia? That's a ointment that they had that healed. And that ointment was stripped off of the tree. Stripped. Can I tell you this? They stripped our Lord of His life when they hung Him on the cross. But the Holy Ghost raised Him again. Then they were blood stains. Vicarious blood. You and I. He died for you and I. Then victorious blood. Hey, the book of Colossians, let me give you this. Amen. Book of Colossians talks about that handwriting that was against us. You know what that was? You know what that was? Every person that was arrested in that day, the judge would write out everything he did on a piece of paper. And he would nail it to the jailhouse door. Every time that old guard come by, he knew exactly what that guy had done. Everything. But when that guy got set free, this is what he had to do. He had to take that. He had to fold it up. He had to put it in his pocket. And if he went to get a job, Brother Chris, he had to take that out and say, that's what I was. That's what I was. That's my past. That's everything I've done in my life. Thank God in Colossians the Bible said when Jesus died, He took the handwriting that was against us and nailed it to the cross.
Amen.
My past don't matter anymore. My past is gone.
Amen.
Behold the Lamb of God which taketh away
Amen.
The sin
Amen.
Of the world.
Thank you.
Four types of garments that Jesus wore. Listen to this. Distinctive garments. What are some distinctive garments that Jesus wore? How about those swaddling clothes?
Yeah.
People said, I had a guy tell me one time, he said, I know, you know how people think they're smarter than they are. He said, I know what them swaddling clothes was. That was rags that they wiped the horses and the cows down with. No, sir. Swaddling clothes was something that the daddy, when he was taking a long trip, wrapped himself in case he died in the journey. It's called death clothes. Death clothes. Those swaddling clothes were death clothes. That's distinctive. He was born to die for you and I. Distinctive clothes. He wore that swaddling clothes. And the Bible, our blessed old book, records that he wore that garment. How about the hem of his garment? Hallelujah. There's so much in there. What is a hymn? Ladies, what is the hymn? If you think real quick, you'll know. It's a finished work. What did he say on the cross? It is finished.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what about a hymn? A hymn is the last thing a lady does to the garment. It's turned up. He said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. It's pierced. His hands and his feet were pierced for you and I. It's threaded. God's plan from Genesis to Revelation is redemption. Jewish man. Does anybody know what that is? That hem? It wasn't the hem around the bottom of his robe. It was in that tallit that he wore around his neck. You know what I'm talking about already. We call it a prayer shawl. That Jewish man wore that prayer shawl. You know what else it was called? His wings. And when that man wore and that hem, that border that was around that, it spoke of who that man was, who he was related to, what kind of man he was. That woman reached out to touch the hem of his garment. She could see by his prayer shawl that he was God's man.
Amen.
And listen to this. I don't know what I did with my handkerchief. Is it still on me? Amen. Boy, that's a good one, ain't it? Malachi 4:2. But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings. Psalm 94:1-4. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I shall say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust. Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust.
Amen.
Then He wore some distinguished garments. Distinguished garments tells everybody who you are. The Bible talks about in the book of Revelation chapter 1. He's dressed like the judge.
Uh-huh.
A garment down to his foot. His feet are like a fire. His eyes are like fire. His hair is white. And he has a golden girdle around his paps. He's the judge. The book of Revelation chapter 19, hallelujah. When he comes back, mm-hmm. Bible says there's written on his thigh, King of Kings.
Preach it, brother.
And Lord of Lords.
Amen.
Distinguished garments.
Yes.
Let me give you this. How about the discarded garments that he wore? Jesus went into his disciples and the Bible says he took off his garments and put on a towel. He discarded those to be a servant. And I'm going to tell you something. If you'll read Isaiah 52 before you get to Isaiah 53, you'll find out who he was serving. Not me and you, but God. Amen. Discarded garments. The Bible says they stripped him of his garments and they scourged him. Suffering garments. They parted his garments on the cross, sacrifice garments. Then thank God, those garments of sovereignty, they came and peeked in that little old tomb, and the Bible says there laid the garments that they buried him in. He'd already discarded them. He didn't need them. Amen? He's no longer dead. He's rose from the dead. Now I want to look, if you will, for just about a few minutes here. I won't lie to you, it'd be ever how long it is. About his disdained garments. About those that he mocked him. They tried to mock, the devil tried to mock him. But God overruled. The first one's called a scarlet robe. In our text, Matthew 27:28, and they stripped him and put on him a scarlet robe. You say, preacher, I don't know what you're talking about. Remember when we talked about that curtain? The color scarlet was there.
Mm-hmm.
What is the color scarlet? It's red. It's red. Did they have clothing factories back then? No. Everything was white. Everything had to be dyed. And if you had a scarlet robe, it had to be dyed. And can I tell you how they dyed that robe? Brother Robert's already probably preached this. You probably preached this. There was a little worm, and that they called the tola worm. That tola worm would lay its eggs on the tree, and those eggs would be gathered and crushed. Something had to die for that to be scarlet. Amen? And they dyed that garment scarlet. And they put it on him and said, well, you said you as a king, we're going to mock you. We're going to make fun of you. But you know what? Our Savior put that scarlet robe on and wore it to show us that we are sinners. Our sin, the Bible talks about sin being as scarlet. And He died to make us white.
Amen.
He died to make us righteous.
Amen.
He died. He wore that robe. You know what He said in Psalm 22? I am but a worm. That scarlet robe was made to mock. But Christ knew what He was doing when He put it on. Listen to me, sinner friend, listen. The Bible tells us very plainly that we're not saved by tradition. We're not saved because mom and daddy's saved. We're not saved because we come to church and pay our tithes. We're not saved because we've been baptized. We're saved because of the precious blood of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Bible says this. Bible says this. Repentance toward God. Faith toward Jesus. Repentance toward God. And faith toward Jesus.
Yeah.
Faith in what? In the sacrifice that He made for you.
Amen.
He died without sin, but bore our sin.
Amen.
On that cross. And when He wore that scarlet robe, He was telling the world, He was telling us. Now we're talking about it some 2,000 years later, that I'm bearing the sin of the world. Let me give you a picture real quick. I'll try to hurry. We have a story about Abraham in the Bible that where he has to take Isaac up and sacrifice him. We've already talked about that a little bit yesterday. There's a little character there that we don't talk about much, and it's a little donkey. That little donkey carried the wood all the way to the foot of the mountain. That donkey's a type of you and me. He is carrying a burden. He is carrying something that he couldn't get off his own back.
That's right.
But when they got to the foot of the mountain, the father took that wood off that donkey and put it on his son.
Amen.
And they headed up the mountain to take care. They didn't come back down with wood. It was gone. The wood's a type of sin. Mace Jackson said, I bet that little donkey kicked all the way home. You remember when you got saved? You remember when God took your sin off you and put His righteousness on you?
Amen.
You didn't deserve that. He wore that scarlet robe to tell us He's going to bear our sin. Number two. The Bible says in Luke chapter 13, verse number 11, and Herod with his men of war set him at naught and mocked him, and arrayed him in a gorgeous robe, and sent him again to Pilate. Now, I asked you a few minutes ago if you knew what the fine linen was. And most everybody knows the Bible said white. Now, the Bible doesn't tell us what the fine linen was. We just know it. The Bible doesn't tell us what the gorgeous robe was.
That's good, brother.
But in history, it tells us it was a white, shining linen robe. So he wears a scarlet robe. The second robe he wears is a white robe. Okay? The gorgeous robe. Now, what does this speak of? It speaks of his high priesthood. Speaks of his priesthood for us. Amen. The high priestly garments were breathtaking. I'm fixing to destroy some of your doctrine. In the Old Testament, there was what was known as the high priest. Every other day of the year, the priest worked in and out, in and out, in and out of that tabernacle. They worked every day. But one day a year, the high priest came and he went inside, all the way inside. The others couldn't go all the way inside, but he went all the way inside behind that veil and laid a sacrifice down. Amen? Now listen to this. They were all looking for that day. Every one of them was looking for that high priest to come. Because that meant the presence of God was there. The Shekinah glory was there and God was blessing them.
Yep.
And He covered their sin for another year.
Right.
So they were looking for Him, right? Well, before He got there, they could smell Him coming. Because they had anointed Him with that oil that permeated the air. They could smell Him coming. Before He got there, Brother Chris, they could hear Him coming. He had those bells on the bottom of His garment and they could hear Him coming. And then all of a sudden they could see Him coming in that glorious garment that He wore. They could see Him coming. Now, I'm going to give you a truth here. Listen. I used to preach this and I used to say this. I used to say that He put a rope around Him and He'd go behind that veil, and if they didn't hear the bells ringing, they pulled Him out because He died.
Never heard that.
Not in the Bible. Can I tell you what He did do? Before that high priest would go in, He would lay aside those glorious garments and only wear that white robe, that white linen robe inside the Holy of Holies. That's all He would. They couldn't hear bells ringing because they didn't ring. He laid it aside. Christ came to this earth and laid aside His glory.
Amen.
To die on a cross for you and I.
Amen.
He went alone and took our sin to the cross. But listen to this. After He done that, Brother Chris, before He went in, there was a scapegoat. I'm assuming a lot of you have heard this, but there was two goats. One was the Lord's and one was for sin. And what they would do is they would, one would become a scapegoat. The other one would die.
Yes.
The one that died, they would sprinkle the scapegoat, and then a fellow named the Fit Man would take that scapegoat far out into the wilderness and throw him off a cliff, never to return.
That's right. He wouldn't come back.
When I got saved, my sin was never to return.
Amen.
In God's eyes, it's gone.
Amen.
Now, listen to this. While all that was taking place, the high priest went inside, sprinkled that blood, and when he came back outside, here comes that Fit Man back into the camp. And the high priest puts on his glorious robes again, and he says, "It is finished. It's done." Can I tell you, there's coming a day when Christ is coming back to this earth. And He'll put on His glorious robe, that glorious robe of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords.
Amen.
What a Savior. Amen.
Yes, sir.
And so that speaks of His high priesthood. I'm going to tell you something. He's sitting on the right hand of the Father. That helps me here to know that He's a very present help in time of trouble. Amen. Neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by His own blood He entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. Now let's look at one more. Two more. The third one was called the purple robe. John 19, 2 and 3. And the soldiers plaited a crown of thorns, put it on His head, and they put on Him a purple robe and said, "Hail, King of the Jews." They smote Him with their hands. Then came forth Jesus in verse 5, wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe. And Pilate saith unto Him, "Behold the man."
Amen.
This speaks of His kingship. Purple is royalty.
That's right. Amen.
They mocked Him and they bowed down before Him and they made fun. But they didn't know that one day Christ is coming back, and the Bible says every knee shall bow and every tongue confess.
Amen.
That Jesus is Lord. Let me give you another picture. You remember David?
Yes.
David had already been anointed king.
Yes.
But they run him out of town.
Yes.
Is that right?
Amen.
He went to a little cave.
Yes.
So he was a king in exile. a king in exile. The Bible says this, there were some people that joined themselves to him. They were the distressed, the debtor, the discontent. Listen to me, there was a day when I was under distress, Brother Chris, only one finger sticking out of the water. I needed help. Thank God I had a king.
Amen.
Who wanted to help me.
Amen.
A debtor. We owe a debt we cannot pay. He paid the debt he did not owe for you and I.
Amen.
And then the discontent. I promise you, somebody here tonight has run out on themselves. I remember being so lost that I thought about taking my own life. I remember being so discontent with what this world had to offer. Thank God for the little fellow that came by every day and showed me Jesus.
Amen.
Said, He loves you.
Amen.
He'll save you if you'll just come. Friend, one day there's going to come one, and on his thigh is written King of Kings. And Lord, let him mock. But he's right. I'm going to tell you something else. If the Jews had received him, he'd have been their king.
Amen.
He's coming. Let me give you the last one. We'll be through. The fourth one is found in John 19:23. Then the soldiers, when they had crucified Jesus, took his garments and made four parts. To every soldier a part, and those parts are clear what they were. And also his coat. Now the coat was without seam, woven from top throughout or to the bottom. Now, this robe, the Scripture don't tell us, Brother Robert. I'm not telling you, the Scripture tells us this. But there's four colors in that curtain. There's four colors in that veil. Scarlet, white, purple, and blue.
Blue.
Now, I just believe. You can, hey, if you don't think so, don't tell me I'm having a good time. I believe that one was blue. Amen. I don't believe God just went three quarters the way and didn't finish it out. I believe that one might have been blue. You know what that coat was? Does anybody know what that coat was? That seamless coat. It was a coat every Jewish man's mother made him. We call it, the Bible calls it a coat, but it was the coat that went next to their heart. It was a coat that he wore right, his inner garment.
Mm-hmm.
We would call it underwear. It's the coat that went next to his heart. And you know what that Jewish man knew? Every time he put that on, my mama loves me. I'm a part of this family. She loves me.
Amen.
And the Bible said they took that coat off of him and gambled it away.
That's right.
There's another name in the Bible for that coat. Does anybody know what it is? My wife does. It was called the best robe. Remember the story about the prodigal son? He broke his daddy's heart. He went off into the far country, spent everything he had and wasted his life. A boy like that, according to the Scriptures, according to the law, a boy like that deserved to die. Is that not right, preacher? That's right. They brought him to the gate, Brother Chris. And this is what they'd do. They'd throw him down on the ground and they'd put his foot on his neck. And that told the rulers of that city, I've done everything I can do with this boy. Stone him. Now get the picture. The boy, out at the hog pen where he didn't have no business being, said, you know what? My daddy's servants eat better than this.
Mm-hmm.
I think I'll just go home.
Amen.
Go home.
He don't want to come home as a son. He said, I'll just be one of the servants.
Yeah. Make me.
I'll just be one of the servants. I'm not in the family. I've ruined that. So I'm going to go home. He comes home. I don't know. Maybe he just put a few husks in his pocket in case daddy didn't receive him. But can I tell you something? Before the boy ever got home, practicing what he was going to say to the father, repentance, he was repenting. He was probably looking to the ground, not even knowing that the father already saw him.
Yeah. Thank you, Lord.
The eyes of mercy are swifter than the feet of repentance. God sees your heart right now.
Amen.
Brother Chris, when he got home, the father ran out to meet him, which was not a Jewish man, did not do that. But he ran out to meet him.
Yes.
Bible says that boy got on the ground. Why did he get on the ground? He knew that foot was going to be on his neck. But oh, the father ran and kissed him on the neck. And hugged him around the neck. And look, look, where's the mama? Where's the mama? Yeah. Brother Robert, I believe you see, this is just, you know, hey, I'm just telling you. I believe maybe she was in the house with that best robe hugged up to her. You know how mamas cry?
Yeah.
You know how mamas cry for those that are lost? You know how mamas pray? Maybe she was rocking with that best robe and saying, oh, send my boy back home. I need my boy back home. God, send him back home.
Yeah.
Brother Chris, all of a sudden, one of the servants ran in and said, we need the best robe.
The best robe.
He's home. He's back. And when he put that robe on, this is what he said. You're still in the family. You're still part of the family. Thank God. Thank God what he did was without seam. Thank God what he did was like that scarlet robe and can't be washed out. Once I got saved, my sins were gone forever.
Amen. Amen.
Friend, you could be saved tonight.
Yeah.
But you're going to have to come.
Yeah.
Amen.
You're going to have to come to yourself.
Amen.
And say, I am a sinner.
That's right.
And I've sinned against God. And if I were him, I wouldn't forgive me. But he said, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall, biggest word in the Bible, shall be saved. He wants you tonight.
Amen.
He did that for you tonight. And those of us that are saved and have gotten over Calvary, we need to look back afresh and say, God did great things for me.
Amen.
I'm not worth anything, but it cost a lot to save me.
Amen.
And Jesus did that for me.
Amen.
You want revival in your heart? You know what the word revival means? Breath. You ever had the breath knocked out of you, preacher?
Yes, brother.
Oh, when I was a kid, my cousin hit me one time playing football, and I couldn't breathe for a week. Knocked the breath out of me. You know what? Only thing I wanted while I was laying on the ground was to breathe.
Breathe. Amen.
Revival means, come, O breath.
Yes.
Put the breath back in us. Church, you want revival? Let God breathe in you tonight.
Amen.
If he breathes in you, there'll be some things happen. Number one, he'll come down, rend the heavens and come down.
Amen.
Amen.
Number two, he'll make his word come alive in your heart.
Amen.
Number three, he'll make you come alive.
Amen.
And you'll breathe.
Amen.
How about you? You want that? I want that more than I'm living.
Amen.
I want that more than daily supply.
Amen.
I want God to breathe.
Amen.
On me. I want God to breathe on this county.
Yes.
I want God to breathe on Ray County.
Yes.
Send a revival like he did at the Isle of Lewis.
Yes.
The Isle of Lewis. You ever heard about that?
Yes.
Two little old blind women wanted the breath of God.
Yes.
They went to the pastor and said, Pastor, if you would, God's laid a preacher on her heart, Duncan Campbell.
Oh,
and if you'll get him, I believe God will send revival. He went and got a hold of Duncan Campbell, and Duncan Campbell said, I can't come.
Mm-hmm.
He went back to the little ladies and said, I believe you missed it. He's not coming. They said, oh, he'll be here. The next day, preacher, he was in Lewis. You see, God has a plan.
Mm-hmm.
And while he was in Lewis, he went to the little church house and began to preach.
Mm-hmm.
Hardly nobody there. And not just in the church house, but in the whole Isle of Lewis. God breathed on it. Farmers in the field dropped their pitchforks and came to the church.
Amen.
Drunkards went to the jailhouse to turn themselves in, getting saved in the ditch on the way.
Yeah.
Having a dance down with a bunch of young people, and they dropped the dance and came to the church house. They said by the time it was 9 o'clock, You couldn't even get close to the church house outside for the people that were getting saved. Breathe on us. Breathe on my house. Breathe on this preacher. Breathe on this daddy. Breathe on this husband.
Hallelujah.
You want revival? How's that word again? Come.
Amen.
Come. If my people, which are called by my name, humble yourselves, pray, seek his face, turn from our wicked ways, he said he'd breathe on us.
Amen.
It's a promise. Amen. Would you come tonight? Would you come tonight? Would you let God change your life? You know why people don't want revival? They have to confess their sin. They have to confess their sin. Every great revival that's ever happened, people stood and said, I'm a liar, I'm a thief, I've not done right, and confessed their sin. This ain't a game. This only gets to count once. And we will be accountable for how we live
Amen.
This life.
Yes, sir.
If you're not saved tonight, I believe that Christ is making up the body and he's coming soon.
Amen.
But he's telling you to come now.
Yes.
Amen. Come now. It's urgent. The lights are flashing. It's urgent. I promise you this. If this place was on fire, not a soul would be left. I promise you this. If this place was on fire and that little girl was stuck in the altar up here, we'd get burns on us to get her out.
Yes.
Folks, people are dying, going to hell.
That's right.
While we waste God's time, it's time to let God breathe on us.
Yeah.
Tonight.